Welcome. Welcome once again to our Bible study here at Grace Baptist Church, our Bible study, which we refer to as Sunday School. For today, God is greater than man, from Job 33:12. And ladies, so that you don't feel left out, the word man in our title is a reference to mankind, males and females, all human beings. In our world today, gender is a point of great confusion, where there should be no confusion. I really do, looking at things today, I wonder if there's going to come a time when the world will say there's no such thing as a human being. Let me assure you, there is a real part, an actual part of God's creation referred to as human beings, created in the image of God. These human beings are spirit, soul, and physical body. Male and female, God created them. And as their creator, he is greater than his creation. Isaiah 64:8 says this, "We, human beings, we are the clay, and God is our potter." In reference to that, we need to consider Romans 9:20-21, and a question that actually confirms the title. God is greater than man. "But indeed, O man, O human being, who are you to reply against God?" Are you arguing with God? Are you contending with God? "Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, 'Why have you made me like this?' Does not the potter have power over the clay?" These verses in Romans lead us to the verse following the verse in Job from which we get our title. Job 33:13. "Why do you contend with him?" Again, why do you debate with God? Why do you argue with God? "For he does not give an accounting of any of his words." This makes obvious the fact that God is greater than his creation. Indeed, he has power over that creation. Remember from Isaiah, does not the potter have power over the clay? The word "over" in that verse means superimposition, denoting God's power is exercised in a superior position compared to his creation. Simple. Let's look to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Familiar verses. We've seen them mentioned recently. Isaiah 55:8-9. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth." Infinitely so, folks. "So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The height of the heavens is limitless. infinite. So is God's superiority compared to his creation. His superiority is immeasurable. It cannot be calculated. And he exercises that superiority over his creation. Daniel chapter 4, verses 34 and 35 say this of God Almighty, "For his dominion is an everlasting and eternal dominion. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing." Now, when we say that regarding the power of God in comparison to human beings, mankind is a non-entity. You cannot compare God with human beings in that case. He does, going on, he does according to his will in the army of heaven. Note here. Army of heaven. The word army has to do, if you look it up, has to do with strength and power. Now, I believe this is speaking of the angels, the army of heaven, the angels, both elect and fallen at this time from Isaiah. We see these angels mentioned in the New Testament as powers. Ephesians chapter 6, Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 2, as well as in other scripture. God is superior to these beings as well and exercises his dominion over them. As with mankind, the angels are created by God as well. Psalm 148, verse 2 and verse 5. "Praise him, all his angels, for he commanded and they were created." God is superior to all his creation. He is God Most High. The Most High God. We see that throughout the Psalms. High and lifted up on his throne in Isaiah 6, 1. The High and Lofty One who inhabits eternity. Isaiah 57, 15. God is greater than human beings and infinitely so. God is greater than the angels and infinitely so. Now, most of you are familiar with the fall of mankind in the garden. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Disobeyed God, their creator. And sin entered the human race, bringing God's penalty of death upon all mankind. That death was not only physical death, death of the body, but also the death of a spiritual relationship with God that was previously had between his first creation and himself. A relationship built upon love. That sin, folks, if I may put it this way, that sin caused us in the beginning to lose the glory of God's image. Of course, God has continued to exercise his superiority, his sovereignty over the human race. Listen now, with the condemnation of the reprobate and the salvation of the elect. Folks, listen up. All it takes for God to send a sinner to eternal condemnation is to leave that sinner alone in sin. May I show you once again from the Holy Scriptures that humanity on their own prefer to be left alone. For those of you who think God is not fair, having the reprobate and having the elect, left to ourselves, we prefer to be left alone by God than to give up what we have in the world. Now, can that be proven from God's holy scripture? Turn with me to Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. We'll be reading verses 10 through 12. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. Folks, there's great pressure here. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? And of course, Egypt, a type of the world. Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt? The people say this to Moses. Isn't this what we told you? Now listen, here's what we told you. Let us alone. Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, that we may stay in the world and serve the world. For better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Now, if we just turn over a few pages here to Numbers chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. Let me show you another part of the love of the world in these folks. Numbers chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. From this very context, these people say, we remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. That's lust of the flesh. And if you don't think this is addressed more in the Bible, Philippians 3:19 speaks of those whose God is the belly. That's referring to the stomach. You can look it up. They'd rather have their fleshly lusts than be on the side of God. But now our whole being is dried up. And this is when they were given the manna to eat. There's nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. God provides for them, but what do? They're unthankful. They could care less. They'd rather go back and be in the world to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, let's turn over to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to spend a little time here, but oh my goodness, is this revealing. For those of you who think that God is unfair, remember the thought here. Apart from God, folks, except for the intervention of God, you and I want to be left alone by God. That's just the truth of the matter. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. I'm going to read to the end of that chapter. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, the anger of God against all ungodliness, A-L-L, all ungodliness and unrighteousness of human beings who suppress or hold down the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. Folks, you can't deny what you know to be true. Now, you will try to deny it. You will go so far as to have your conscience seared as with a hot iron. But let's just read further, because this exposes sinners for what they are. What may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, his eternal power and Godhead, his divinity. They know there is an almighty God, so that they are without excuse. Folks, this is in every one of us. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. They'd rather have their bellies full. But became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God, he is imperishable, into an image made like corruptible humanity. That means it's perishable. When it dies physically, it rots. And birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. My goodness. That's how low these things go. But remember now, they changed the image of God into an image made like corruptible humanity. What are we worshiping today? Oh my goodness, just look out there. We worship singing stars and athletes and movie stars and politicians and so on and so on. Therefore, God also, now listen up. Remember how I started this off? All God has to do for you to be condemned is to leave you alone in your sin. Therefore, God also gave them up. He left them alone to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, because they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, for this reason, God gave them up. Folks, He left them alone to vile passions. For even their females, it says women in most translations, it's the word for females or women, exchange the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, the males. Again, you know, there's confusion about that here today, folks. Who's a female and who's a male? Goodness gracious alive. Likewise, also the males, leaving the natural use of the female, burned in their lust for one another. Males with males, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Now, I'm not here on a bandwagon against homosexuals. Absolutely not. It's a sin. And if we know homosexuals, if they're in our families, if we love them, we should confront them with the truth. The truth of what is out there in God's judgment for such lifestyle. We don't hate them. We should love them. But warn them of what condemnation they face. And of course, the Bible doesn't go on to leave it there whatsoever. And even as they did not like to retain God in knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. God gave them over. He left them alone with their reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting. Now listen. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. You and I fit in there somewhere before God saved us. And maybe in numerous spots there. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, if people tell you all the weird ideas they have about the afterlife, they're just denying what God has put within all of us. We all know there's a God, and we all know there's coming a reckoning day. That's just built in everybody. They can deny it all they want to. Again, their conscience can become seared as with a hot iron. But initially, they know the truth. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. Knowing that, folks, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Friends, sinners like you and I, before God saved us, want to be left alone by God. And as you can see from this scripture, it's exactly what he did. He left them alone. He gave them what they wanted. He left them alone in their sin. And Christian, you and I wanted no part of God before he intervened in our lives. But he did not leave us alone. Remember, I just said Christians. He did not leave us alone in our sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. He has power over his creation. By grace you have been saved. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. God exercised that superiority. He exercised his power over us, even as the Holy Spirit did with Mary in Luke 1:35, which reads, "Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you." This is what happened to you and I when we understood the gospel inwardly and effectually. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2 verses 1 through 5. Paul speaking here. The preacher, Paul, the apostle. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence or of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." The testimony of God. "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching, not with persuasive words of human wisdom, listen, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men. You didn't reason that thing out. But in the power of God. In the power of God. This infinitely superior and powerful God, listen, made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, having become in the likeness of human beings, and being found in appearance as a human being, he humbled himself, having become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ crucified. Philippians 2, verses 7 and 8. Oh, yes. If you just listen to those verses, oh, yes. God's ways are not our ways, nor are his thoughts our thoughts. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his ways past finding out. Do we even begin to understand God's judgment in saving a wretch like you and me, while leaving others alone in their sin? In light of that, there's only one way I know to respond. And it's the way I responded when I first came to grips with this truth. There's only one way to respond. Bow and worship with great love this God who saved you and me. In Isaiah 44, this infinitely superior and powerful God says this: I, the first, and I, the last. Besides me, no God. And who can proclaim as I do? God is greater than man. God is greater than mankind. Why? Why do we contend? Why do we debate with God? For he does not give an accounting of any of his words. Flee. Flee to Christ in humble adoration. And don't argue with God. May I close with these following scriptures, beginning with Isaiah. The Lord God says, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Indeed, I have spoken. I also bring it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed. I will also do. And from Daniel, no one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? Folks, you can't contend with God. You can't contend with God. And once more, from Isaiah, God speaks, I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth of righteousness and shall not return. That to me, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. How I pray that we would bow and worship in love and adoration of the one true God found in Christ alone. Amen.